This is a special edition of 16.9, the Digital Signage Podcast, with interviews from the crowded aisles and noisy hallways of Integrated Systems Europe in Amsterdam. I'm here at ISC to take in the biggest pro AV show on this planet and possibly any planet. I'm here all week and I've already done a pile of sit-down interviews with different execs for full-length podcasts you'll hear over the next few weeks. I'm also grabbing some fast stand-up chats with companies that are showing their pots and pans at ISC this year and packaging them up for quick turnaround. In a minute, I'll dive into the first conversation, but let's get some really important information out of the way first. This podcast costs a few bucks to produce, as did the private jet that got me and my personal valet, Cedric, over here. So I'm very grateful for the ongoing support this podcast gets through a sponsorship by Jeremy Gavin and his crew at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. They do best-of-breed subscription content, and if you run a signage network, you really should check them out at ScreenFeed.com. All right, let's fire up the first on-floor chat. We're standing in the Sony booth. There's a lot of people looking at the Cletus display, and I suspect a lot of them are wondering, what is that? Can you explain the technology? Yeah.
So maybe some people misunderstand that this is a one panel media projection, but this is a LED display.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there are many LED display in the market.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is a Sony original LED display. So, I mean, the LED device light source is completely different from the others. Very much smaller LED.
Yeah.
So, you may know the size is 0.003 square millimeter chip size. Yeah, including the RGB light source, including this small chip.
Okay.
Yeah. So, thanks to this small chip, for example, please look at this image. This is an image of the 1 pixel, the zooming 1 pixel. So the over 99% black area remain in the 1 pixel area. So this makes a good contrast. So what? Let me explain.
Deeper
here.
Blacks.
Yeah, deeper blacks. And for example, the normal LED device display use a SMD type device, surface mounted device.
Right.
So this device is not so small compared to our devices. So unfortunately, they want to show the black color on their screens, but maybe the surface, because of their surface material, the black color is not black, but gray, cross gray.
Yeah.
But our LED is 100 times smaller than them.
Okay.
So the black area remained a lot, and this makes a good quality, good contrast. Yeah. For example, 30 times to 50 times contrast.
So with a normal fine pixel pitch LED, they talk about the pitch between the LEDs and the tightest is 0.9. How would you compare it here?
1.2. Big pixel pitch is 1.2.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not even the finest pixel pitch. It's just done in a different way because you're creating so much black.
Black, yeah.
Okay.
So compared to the same pixel pitch, 1.2 LED, but the picture quality is completely different because pixel pitch is not a suitable measure for the quality of the LED display. So we should say that not only the pixel pitch, but also black areas level, black level.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So combination of the point elements, so the LED quality is fixed, decided.
Okay. And one of the things I'm curious about with this is it almost looks like there's a plastic film on top of the LEDs.
Surface?
Yeah. Because if I walk up to a normal 1.9 mil fine pitch LED, you can feel the individual LED diodes, but it looks like there's almost like a sheet of plastic or something. It seems glossy.
Yeah, glossy. I know. I understand. Yeah, because it makes a good contrast. Keep good contrast.
Uh-huh.
This surface, glossy surface, is necessary.
And is that how you would normally do it, or is this what you would do for a trade show?
Trade show. You mean that?
Would you, if I was installing this in a lobby of an office tower, would I also have that glossy surface on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't affect heating or anything?
No heating. And in the future, we will have the plan to release the non-glass or matte type or Cletus as a second generation. For the another market, usage.
Is this now on the market?
No, but soon.
Soon?
Around February, the end of, I think our target is this March.
March. Okay.
So the But you know the lead time, there are some lead time to deliver. Right. So actually the customer can receive the after April.
And do you have any sense of price versus competitive, like a 1.2 versus this? The cost per square meter, that kind of thing?
Now, depend on the customer environment. This is a system integration product.
I cannot tell. I'm looking at something the size of a billboard. Is this $1 million?
Oh, sorry, I cannot say anything there. The price, yeah.
I'm not going to be able to put this in my home anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. The price, at this time, not decided.
Okay.
Depend on the customer and the system.
Yeah. It's just about out of R&D, but not quite. Does it have to be rectangular like this, or can it be how big are the modules? The modules look like they're fairly small.
Small, yeah. Let me show the one module is 45 centimeter by 40 centimeter. For example, let me show the actual distance.
They look like regular fine pitch LED modules from the back and everything. They connect together in a little bit.
So similar type of display. We call the display unit. And the display has 12 smaller panels.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the maintenance replacement. We can replace this small panel. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the LED is very small, too small. So we cannot remove the LED, one LED. So we replace this unit.
What would be the argument for using Cletus versus fine pitch LED? Is it purely about image quality, the blocks?
Yeah, contrast is very good.
How about energy efficiency? Is it any better or worse?
I think the same level.
Okay.
Yeah. Not so strong and not so low.
And in the manufacturing, are the LEDs, these super fine LEDs, are they kind of like printed on? Or is it robotics that puts them all in place?
Regarding to the LED technology, I cannot disclose that because of the patent.
It's secret.
Yeah, secrets. Sony original technology, unique technology.
So this is the big focus for Sony right now, this technology.
Yeah.
And it's obviously attracting a lot of people. All right, thank you for your time.
You. Yeah, thank you.
Here's our next chat.
Hi there, I'm Craig Goldberg and I'm a pre-sales technical consultant based out in the London head office in Canary Wharf.
For?
Condeco Software.
And you guys do meeting room signage, right?
That's correct. We do meeting room signage and we do desk booking, and we have a kiosk as well for desk booking, as well as Sense occupancy units.
So basically all the stuff that is around controlling meeting room space and showing people where the meeting rooms are
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so I was aware of you guys, but I was wandering through ISC and came by the booth and saw these little desk booking signs, which I've not seen before and it kind of intrigued me. So how does that work?
Yeah, so these desk booking units have just been released to the market and they allow you to check into desk as well as release. So the idea is you'd come up in the morning and you would check into your desk using your RFID card.
Okay.
And the great thing about these desk screens are they are now wireless. They don't require any PoE. They connect straight to the Wi-Fi and they're very slim. So as you can see, there's different ways that you can position them for different types of desks. So here we have a stand and you could switch it rotation based on the way the stand.
Right. So for people who are only listening to this, they're roughly the size, a little bit bigger than a hockey puck, an ice hockey puck.
That's correct.
And they've got a little LCD screen embedded in the middle of them, and we had red and green lights on the top, or a light that goes red or green. So if it's red, it shows Simon Cohen, in this case, has booked this desk all day long, so in a shared workspace,
right,
which is more and more common in the work world, this is how you'd kind of control that without big bun fights breaking out about,
exactly,
hey, that's my desk.
Yeah.
Can you book this remotely?
You can. We have a web interface as well as an Outlook add-in. So there's multiple platforms you can book, as well as mobile. We're seeing a big trend towards mobile now, and a lot of people working remotely or need to book space on the go. So we have both room booking and desk booking for iOS and Android.
So if I'm traveling sales guy for a technology company or a consulting company, like a Deloitte or whatever, that has multiple offices all over the place. I have a swipe card. I can get into the building. I can find a shared desk, walk up, tap this little screen, and it's going to reserve it for the amount of time that I need.
Correct.
Does the screen itself have a UI at all? Or
no.
So you just tap in and it's going to light it green, tap out, and it's ready.
Yeah, one improvement that we've made with the desk screens is it's always reading now. So as you can see, if I just swipe my card at the moment over it, I don't need to touch the screen or anything like that. I can just hover my card over it.
Okay.
And it's always reading, and you'll see that it indicates a white light to show that it's been read, and it will change to red and show the person that's booked it.
Okay. So tell me about the, we'll just walk over this way, your regular meeting room product, which is kind of the standard thing of tablets.
Yeah, so here we have our Condeco V2 room screens, which have LED lights indicating whether the meeting room is booked or free. So if you imagine walking down a corridor, and you want to find availability, you can see at a glance what is free and what's not just by the lights. And again, these integrate with our RFID badges. User.
How does that work?
So we have the technology built into the screens to allow users to use their access cards, and we support many different compatibility of cards such as MyFair, HID, and you can simply go up to the screen, choose an empty slot, click confirm, and swipe your badge over the screen. And that will book the meeting and turn the lights red.
And the red and green lights, I see a lot of companies doing that. Is that pretty essential now? Are most end user clients saying this is what we want?
I would say so, yeah. As I mentioned before, you want to know at a glance when you're walking down a big corridor what's free and what's not. We also have the amber as well. So you can see this one here is showing amber, which means it's ready to be started. And one great thing about our Condeco room screens is the auto bump feature to optimize utilization. We really encourage people to turn that on to start their meetings, because we see a lot of people actually booking meetings and not turning up and wasting space, which is cost to a company. So, we really believe that's
the auto
big driver.
Feature did you
yeah,
say?
That's correct.
What does that mean?
What it means is there's a window. Say we have a meeting booked at 11 a.m. Uh-huh. If a user hasn't checked into that meeting between that 15 minutes, 11 to 11:15, it will free up the room to the entire user population.
It will kick them out.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we have no show reports, so we have almost like a naughty list. So if people would
back end analytics, that'll say.
Yeah. So if someone is
a bad actor,
right? You can actually see that information.
That might come up in an HR meeting, performance review.
Exactly.
And
Yeah. So there's a lot of reports you can run.
So do you then have, it looks over here like you have kind of roll-up directory screens that show basically that here's all the rooms?
Yeah, so with our meeting room enterprise software, we also have a Wayfinder. The Wayfinder will display meeting information for the day and directions. So if you're a visitor and you're not aware of the locations of the meeting rooms, you can see just in front of you the direction, as well as the time of the meeting. On top of that, you can have availability. So if you want to find a meeting room, you can also see from that big Wayfinder, which I should mention is any kind of hardware that supports a computer web interface. So right now we have it set up with an HDMI cable going back into a little PC. So, very lightweight, and you can see availability just from a glance going into an office floor.
In a general sense, how long has Conoco been in this business?
It's been in the business about 10 years, and we've been a market leader for a while now.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now back to the podcast.
I write about this a lot. It seems to have really exploded in the last 2 years as somebody who's doing all the sales engineering around this.
Yeah.
Have you sensed that?
It really has. I've just been out in California for the last 2 years working there, mm-hmm. and the amount of growth I've seen both from our actual employees and our client base is really impressive, mm-hmm. and it doesn't stop. It's just continuing, and it's great to see.
And it kind of sells itself, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. You know, we've got great kit, and it does speaking for itself.
How do you guys sell against, like, there's 50 plus options out there now, and that I know of, and there's probably a lot more than that. This is pretty sophisticated, but there's lots of other ones where, you know, they've managed to query an Exchange server and show stuff on a screen.
Yeah, for us, we've got everything, the one-stop solution, you know, all in one tool. You don't need to book in multiple places. The Condeco software is the unique selling point in itself. And we have great referable customers as well who are, you know, big clients like
right.
Chevron, Barclays, Unilever that are using our system on a global basis and have been for many years.
And I see that you also pitch digital signage. What part does, what's going on there?
So we have the room screens as we spoke about before. We have a new Connect product being released that we're previewing as well. This is going to be a different type of firmware. It's going to be Android-based. Mm-hmm. So the actual look and feel is similar, but you can do different things on it, such as swiping the green bar across the bottom. And the important thing to know about the Condeco Connect V2 is that there is no middleware. The setup is extremely easy. Talking to Exchange, all done from the screen itself. So it's very quick and easy. We're also introducing a mobile app that will have beacon technology with the screens that allows you to find availability. So if I'm in an office and I need to find an availability of a meeting room, rather than going to a web interface or actually searching around the office, I can go onto my mobile phone and it will pick up available meeting rooms around me. So that's going to be a key driver for the new Condeco Connect product.
But you're staying in your lane, so to speak. It says digital science,
yeah.
But you're not getting into other aspects of digital science.
No, not for now.
Good. there's enough already.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
Here's our next chat.
I'm Chris Parker. I'm the European Product Manager for Sharp Visual Solutions.
Okay. We're here at ISC, and today you guys have announced that you're now doing system-on-chip displays.
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, today we're talking maybe about how it works, mm-hmm. because we know that we're only going to be launching products in the next 6 months or so.
Okay.
So we've got the platform ready to go. We know how it works. And it's all concerned also with building up the partner ecosystem so that mm-hmm. our platform with our displays is also relevant to the industry-wide with all the applications which can be achieved on it.
So it's an embedded display system on chip. Is it Android that you're running inside?
Yes, it will be an Android system.
So give me a bit more detail on that. What flavor of Android is it? It's obviously an ARM processor.
It's an ARM processor. Too much the actual flavor itself, I haven't got off the top of my head.
Okay.
I know it's a 1.8 gigahertz processor chip.
Mm-hmm.
With Android, you know, plus it's an open source situation. We don't have to supply SDKs or too much hand-holding. All the information is available. Yeah.
So you've launched, I believe, with four CMS companies that are integrated with this, or
yes,
will be, or
will
they're doing the R&D to do that. Who are they?
So it's Easy Screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I don't know Easy Screen. Where are they from?
They're from Holland, actually. Local here.
Local? Okay.
Netherlands, yeah. It's Grassfish in Austria.
Okay.
It's City Mayor in France. Mm-hmm. And the fourth one is just Escape Me.
Videro, I think, right?
Videro, yes.
Right.
That's right, yeah.
Good thing I'm here.
Yeah.
And what is involved in integration? Is this a long, arduous process or pretty simple to do?
Well, in the end, it depends on what the application is. But, you know, we give the system on the chip, so we have it completely open in terms of the protocols and how you drive it. And the application really is just how can you get content onto the chip and display it on the screen.
Right. And is it a particular series of screens, or is this something that Sharp plans to do across all of its Pro displays?
Yeah, so moving forward, it will go across all displays.
Okay. So you've just kind of pushed all in with, like a lot of the other companies have, and just made it part of what you do.
I think so, yeah. I mean, if you look at the cost, I mean, it is an additive cost.
Yeah.
But when you consider how much an alternative
pretty
is.
Pretty nominal.
Yeah. It should be.
And is this a reflection of being involved with Foxconn now, that you have that manufacturing capability to start doing that kind of thing?
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, also with purchasing, just with the size, also their engineering know-how, certainly. Mm-hmm. This is very much a first fruit of that.
You also have over there, just looking to my left, there's something, Sharp seems to have its own CMS software.
Yes.
Is that new, or is that something that's been around for a while?
That is new. So, I mean, that's a, you could almost call it an interim solution. So we have our PNY series, which we, the latest version has just been launched.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not up to speed with the system on the chip just yet. And we know that some proprietary software distribution systems can be quite complicated and also quite expensive. Mm-hmm. So we've got our Sharp content distributor software, which is fairly straightforward, pretty easy to use, uncomplicated. It ships for free with PNY.
It's not necessarily an enterprise solution, but for a small to medium business, it may do the job quite nicely.
Yeah.
Tell me about Mini OPS.
So, I mean, we've certainly seen the success of OPS and ability to expand applications and capability of a display. With Mini OPS, we're doing OPS, but it's more modern. And it's a slightly smaller form factor, so more elegant displays. Mm-hmm. And because it's Mini OPS, it's also using Intel's latest chipsets, which are more low energy.
And is it your own hardware, or is it a software or hardware partner that's manufacturing the OPS device?
So yeah, we're partnering again with vendors who are doing Mini OPS.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you would have multiple versions of it. You're just providing a slot, basically.
That's correct.
Like, oh, snap it in there and off you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So rough time frame of when you believe the SoC will be on available, like by Infocom, something like that?
Actually, it could be the prototypes. I mean, we're saying more like late summer, 6 months
okay.
time.
You've started with four partners. Is that your four partners, or can other CMS companies?
No, that is just a start. You know, we'd love to grow the ecosystem.
So who do they talk to? If I'm a CMS, who do I go to? I say, look, I'm interested in your SoC platform.
You can either talk to me, product management. You can talk to sales, who will then lead them on to me.
Okay.
In the end, you know, it will be a technical discussion.
For Europe, and they'll be your counterpart in North America.
Yes.
And in other jurisdictions.
Yeah, Asia.
All right, great. Thank you for your time.
Okay, David.
All right.
Pleasure.
Here's the last one.
My name is Anders Peterson. I'm one of the founders of NoDark out of Sweden.
Mm-hmm. And where in Sweden?
We're Gothenburg.
Okay.
So we are a digital signage developer and a company, and we do a cloud-based digital signage solution.
How long have you been doing it?
We've been doing it for almost 3 years.
Okay. And you're not an old guy, but
no.
I see some silver hair there. So how did you end up in this?
I used to work with marketing resource management systems, mm-hmm. or content management systems
okay.
in general. And we saw that in the digital signage business, it's it comes a lot out of programming, template-based creation, a lot of hands-on work. And in the sort of CRM business, MRM business, it's a lot more sort of user-friendliness, more let the system do a lot for you instead of you as a user having to administrate a lot,
right.
so to say. So that's sort of the take that we have on this, is to have our system do a lot more for the customer instead of the customer having to do everything, all the details and everything themselves.
Right, so very low learning curve to get up
low
to speed with
learning
this.
Curve, adapt our system to the customer's existing way of working. As an example, we developed one of the first things we made is a PowerPoint plugin that you install directly into PowerPoint that communicates with our system and onwards to the players. Instead of having a user create something in PowerPoint or already tapping into what they have in PowerPoint and then converting it piece by piece and uploading it to something completely different, like a template-based creation tool.
Right.
That you can go directly from what you already have in PowerPoint and push that out to the players without having to stop in between. So
does it require a lot more learning, extra training and so on to work with it?
I would say no. Since it's the basic operation is drag and drop oriented,
yeah.
So it's intuitive and easy for somebody to learn the basic steps.
Mm-hmm.
We also have, which we're very proud of, is a live view, which means that when you're in the cloud tool, so to say, administrating the players, and you push live view, it will send you like a direct feed of exactly what the player is showing at the moment. Mm-hmm. Most of the competition, they settle for sending one screen dump, so you can click a button and you can see,
this is a screen capture.
Right. And what we can provide then is that you press play on live view, and then you can see, okay, this is what the player is doing in Italy. Mm-hmm. I'm in Gothenburg in Sweden, and I can see exactly what that is happening. And that also helps a lot when working with the content, I think.
And if there's an issue in Italy, how do you deal with it?
Well, there's a number of things. First of all, it's completely remote controlled. The clients are Linux based, which means that we've built in backend options so we can control the device, reboot it, everything basically that you expect to be able to do with the device, you can do that.
Okay.
Also, if God forbid something were to happen with the player that it's still hardware can fail. If you reinstall, we've got the quick replace functionality, so you enter the serial number of the original one, the one that broke, enter the serial number of the new replacement device, and one click, and the system does everything else, setting up everything, importing all the content and everything as you had it, which means that because we work with arenas, etc., the downtime, and we were talking about minutes maximum, that they need in order to get back online, so to say. So that's some examples of what we do.
And it's software as a service?
Software as a service, definitely.
And is your marketplace small to medium business, or do you go after a particular vertical?
We would say that medium-sized companies, also small maybe, but the companies that want to work actively with their content. If you want to have a stationary content, okay, here's a time schedule that, or an image or presentation that goes and goes and never updates.
There's five pieces of media, we're going to play these over and over again for the next month.
That's other players can do that as well, and you can bottom line do that with a USB memory stick and a Windows computer. But if you want to be like actively update the content, then I would say that we have the solution for that.
What about working with live data? Could you do that as well? So if you have data cells within PowerPoint or something?
Definitely. So you can definitely work with a lot of API content. Yeah. We work with SAP integrations. We do Microsoft.
Is that for your customers or?
Yeah, we do that for the customers and integrate it.
Because that would be kind of scary for them we're going to integrate with SAP.
But also, if we talk about dynamic content, one thing that we have is that all the players that we have, both the tablet versions and the stationary clients, they have built-in web servers, which means that you can take any HTML5 content, zip that into a zip file, and just add it onto a player as you would with an image, movie or presentation. The player will unpack the zip file and play the content locally, which means that you can very, very easily create any kind of interactive media, time schedules, anything, and you can of course link that HTML content to fetch data from somewhere else.
So this is the whole idea of this IoT world where any device can become a server and you can interact directly with it rather than going back up to the cloud.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're also doing things like lighting control systems?
We do that as well. So we've integrated it with two providers at the moment. So first of all, Philips Hue. So all the Philips Hue products, you can control the light through the players. You can say that when we show an a movie file of some red strawberries, for example, then you can control the light, so the light is red. And we have some examples where we have store advertising, so like storefronts, and we have a company selling eyeglasses. So when they show on the LED screens in the window, red glasses.
Yeah.
Then the lighting around the screen is red, but also at night what they do is that they do like light show at night when the store is closed. Mm-hmm. So when they show then the blue glasses in the on the screens, the lighting in the store goes blue.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it's very eye-catching and very cheap way to create like a visual effect.
And three-year-old company, how many people involved with the company?
We're five people.
Uh-huh.
And as I said, I mean, we've been in the CRM, MRM business for a long time. So we've been able to do a lot in a short period of time.
Yeah.
But we still got a very, very long to-do list of things that we want to do.
Right.
But we've already done so much in terms of functionality. As I also said, worth mentioning, I don't know if anybody else has this, but that you can send emails directly to our players with what you write in the header of the email.
Yeah.
Will scroll in the lower part of the screen.
So for, let's say, the front desk of a corporation, you can enable the person who works the reception desk to, you know, type in, "Welcome, Mr. Smith."
Yes.
That sort of thing without having to know anything about the CMS.
Yeah, and we also have sort of the standard corporate setup where they put screens in the canteen or whatever in the company. And somebody wants to forward the message, okay, 3 o'clock meeting, these and these people. Then you can just send that as an email directly to the player. And in the system, you then define how long that right. every time somebody sends an email, how long time should that scroll, etc.
So in theory, you have a screen in the cafeteria, you could send an email saying, "Anders, get your ass back to the office."
Definitely, definitely. A nice feature, definitely.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, nice talking to you.
That's it for this special episode of the 16.9 podcast, live, well, sort of mostly live, from ISC in amazing Amsterdam. I hope you enjoyed the conversations and you learned a few things. I'm Dave Haynes. Thanks for listening.